While working at VW, I got the opportunity to study businesses like Netflix, Amazon, Booking.com, Google, and Microsoft Bing. Organizations that have developed something we all called a culture of experimentation. We interviewed veterans like Ronnie Kohavi, Lucas Vermeer, Brian Macy, Krish Govard to culminate growth through conversion optimization. One thing which echoed in these conversations was that all these leaders and companies have successfully democratized experimentation. That means if an employee has a potent hypothesis, then they can freely launch an experiment to validate it. Fortune 100 businesses credit experimentation as one of the reasons of their hypergrowth. These organizations pay more attention to data over the highest paid person's opinion. Like, do you know employees once vetoed Booking.com CEO as his recommended version of their logo wasn't A/B tested? Google tested 11,000 shades of blue before finalizing their logo. That's how the culture of experimentation looks like in action, where data is the backbone of decision making and everyone shares the freedom to build and test their hypothesis. Hi, and welcome to the 9th episode of Growth Signals. I'm your host Utkarsh, and in this episode, we'll talk about how you can unlock growth through experimentation. By the end of this episode, you'll understand ways to become an experimentation-driven organization. You'll be able to learn about which data you can refer to minimize the risk of failure, and understand the trade-offs you would need to make to prioritize better. So let's dive in. Amazon, Google, Booking, Netflix, Facebook are all the flag bearers of experimentation-led growth. However, none of these companies were running tests from day one. They all build a culture of experimentation. So like these companies, even you can build this culture at your workplace. Paras Chopra, the founder of VW, explains, there are four progressions or stages to create a culture of experimentation. Stage 1, where you might not be testing at all. Stage 2, where you occasionally test, like testing your newsletter subject line or creating two versions of the headline of your ad campaign, etc. Stage 3 is where you hire someone to own the process of experimentation. And stage 4 is where every team in your organization collects evidence to test their assumptions to impact their KPIs. Now, on your road to become an experimentation-led organization, you first need to assess which stage you are at currently. Then assign a goal to these stages. Say if you are at stage 1, your goal is to start running at least one experiment a week. Now, chances are, your teammates or your manager might discourage you from testing, as it takes a lot of time and effort to test. It will take you some time to gather idea to experiment, and so on. So find low-hanging fruits and go at it. Focus on demonstration wins early on to everyone. The objective here is not to move the needle on macro goals like revenue or conversion, but show value to others first before expecting their support. Publish experimentation wins and failures across your organization. It will help you open your team towards the idea of experimentation. If you are at stage 2, your goal should be to get a dedicated person to adopt a process to run the experimentation at all times. If you are at stage 3, you need to spread this flu of experimentation and make it more contagious in your organization. That's how you can build experimentation maturity at work. Now let's talk about what are the ingredients of running experiments in the first place. Any experimentation idea, big or small, comes with digging and observing the behavior of your users or customers. As and when they interact with you, your website, your platform, it could be anything. To start looking at the right places, you first start by asking the right questions. There are two methods to collect data to understand user or visitor behavior. If I talk in the context of a website, Then quantitative research tells you what's happening on your website, whereas qualitative research suggests why visitors behave in a certain way. To gather quantitative insights, you ask yourself, what are the different pages or avenues that your visitors or prospects use to convert on your website? What's the conversion rate of these pages? What is our bounce rate or exit rate? Answer these what questions by looking into your Google Analytics report, landing page heat maps, and funnel reports. To gather qualitative insights, ask yourself, why are your visitors aren't converting on your pages? Why is your bounce rate high? And why say X percentage of visitors are clicking on your call to action? Why are they completing an action but others are not? Answer these why questions by watching your visitor recordings, running website surveys, and conducting visitor interviews. A great example of running a thank you page interview is that you ask converted users the following questions. What motivated you to buy today? What other websites did you visit before purchasing from us? Why you bought this product over the others? Asking such questions help you understand what supports your buyer to purchase or take an action. Such insights are valuable to convert other prospects on your website. Let's understand that through an example. During my VW days, I helped an auto insurance company to improve their pricing page experience. It had two insurance plans, Lite and Pro. The problem was that website visitors were not buying the Pro plan, their expensive offering. I observed that the plan comparison section had too much information related to each plan. We validated this observation by looking into the visitor recordings and survey responses. We saw that after spending 10 or more seconds on the pricing page, website visitors were retracting to the easier option, which was either to buy the cheaper plan or hit the exit button. When the website owner tested a page variant by listing the differentiators between both the plans versus showing all the details, she saw a 13% increase in order value. When you start asking those what and why questions, you'll see yourself observing more and more opportunities to run experiments. However, what to do when you have too many such observations? Well, you prioritize. You can use the ICE framework to rank your hypotheses. I personally use it for pretty much everything. ICE stands for Impact, Confidence, Effort. Simply score each of your hypotheses based on these three parameters on a scale of 3, where 1 being the lowest and 3 being the highest. Prioritization is about making trade-offs. If you're just starting with experimentation, I would recommend you pluck your low-hanging fruits first. Things that you see as optimization opportunities on your checkout pages, pricing, or conversion pages. Score some early wins and then take the momentum forward. If you're already testing, then build a cadence of testing continuously. Set a goal of keeping at least one experiment running at all times. These are the building blocks of becoming Netflix, Booking.com, Amazon of the world. They all started small and endured hundreds of experimentation failures for the wins that designed their growth story. That's all in this episode. I want to share that the next episode will be the season finale of Growth Signals. If you like this series on growth and startup marketing, please share it with your friends on Twitter and LinkedIn with the hashtag Growth Signals. In the next episode, we'll talk about brand stories and everything you need to build one. Till then, keep hustling. Help to create the 9th episode of Growth Signals was provided by Sachin Vats and Deepesh Tomar.